Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now is the first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. The Browns sold 62,000 season tickets this year, so if you want to make sure you're a part of it next year, it's only getting hotter here for the Browns. So call up again. Go to clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. All right. We are going to do our grades now here on the show. This portion is where we're going to go back to school, as it were, Mr. Wilhelm. We're going to start this week. I went first last week, so you'll go first this week. Start on the offensive side of the ball. Quarterback Brian Hoyer for this game against the Jags.
I'm going to go with a D-. And again, I think because he is just – we talked about the inaccuracy during the break. I think that he is still the leader. I think his confidence has swayed some a little bit because of the play against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it was a cumulative effort, and that's why he's not going to get a failing grade.
Okay, and I'm going to give him a C as well. To me, I would go with a C because it wasn't great. There were some okay things. I thought he didn't necessarily have the usual support around him that he had, but it was not a winning performance. I think that the way that he played could have been okay to win if other things had happened in the offense. But I go back to, and this is, maybe it should be a C-. I go back to the throw to Jordan Cameron, which I think could have won, iced the game. And I know it's early to say, but I think if you get up 10-0 on a Jags team that's just been beaten all year, that's just, and their offense was doing nothing, it seems insurmountable. The throw to Taylor Gabriel, I feel like, is a throw you got to make in the NFL. And there was one where he missed Travis Benjamin, didn't even look at it. Didn't see him, which should have been a big play as well. So there were some real egregious plays. It was, in my opinion, by far his worst game of the season thus far.
Yeah, I just think his overall quarterback rating, his throwing percentage, and I think, and also too, it was one of the toughest games for him personally because he was being pressured unlike any other football game thus far this season.
Yes, no question about it. And that's why it was tough. And that starts up front. We'll get to the line in a second. Let's go to the running backs right now. Tate, West, and Crowell, their grades in this game.
Tate, West, and Crowell, I'm going to go with a C- as well, maybe even a D+. And the reason why is because, again, I thought there was some dancing. There was some indecision. And, again, we'll get to the fact that the offensive line didn't have their best game. But I also thought, you talk about pass protection. I know, you know, Tate missed a rusher directly in front of Brian Hoyer that put the pressure on him as well. So it's just overall not a winning performance, and that's why they're going to get that C-, D+ in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a D because I think when you look at a couple of the critical plays in the game, they came from errors from the running backs. And Isaiah Crowell didn't do anything great, didn't do anything bad. To me, he kind of gets like a non-grade for this game because he didn't really get the ball and he wasn't involved in any of these significant plays. So he might be graded a little bit better for me ultimately. But I thought the Terrence West, the dancing, we talked about that critical possession there, I think that changed the entire tenor of the game with what he did on second down when he easily should have gotten the first down. Third down, I don't know that he had as much of a chance, but on that second down play, should have gotten it, and he didn't. We know why now, and I think that that's important. And then the missed blitz pickup that led to the fumble on Brian Hoyer was on Ben Tate. He whiffed on that one.
And yes, he did.
That was a massive play. Now, ultimately, you hold him to a field goal. It's still only 10-6 at that point. But again, it was just another a big play in the game. And the running backs couldn't run the football. It was our worst running performance. All three backs under 3 yards of carry. Now, a lot of that is unfair because a lot of it is on the line. But to me, it was the dancing and the missed blitz pickup made that a below average performance. And that's why I went with the D.
Sure. Moving on to the tight ends, I'm going to go with a D+ with the tight ends, and the reason why is because I think we couldn't secure the edges to even allow with that internal penetration for Ben Tate, Terrence West, or Isaiah Crowell to stay front side. So they couldn't do that, and I think that just an underwhelming overall performance. I think Jordan Cameron, what, one catch for 5 yards, a real non-factor in this football game. And we saw week prior we were going 13, we were boasting about the fact that we can go 13 personnel and do so much out of it, but that was just not the chance for us this week.
It was not this week, and I'll go with the C. I don't think they did anything good. I don't think they did anything bad. I thought Jordan Cameron at least ran one great route where he got open in the back of the end zone, and Brian Hoyer missed him on that one. But they were not certainly difference makers in this game as they had been in a couple previous games. Kind of there, the blocking on the edge, though, to your point, whenever they tried to run some tosses, it wasn't there. Yeah, just not a strong performance. And now we'll go to the offensive line. And I would say the O-line in this one, I think that it wasn't necessarily anything technique-wise, although I thought sometimes they were confused about which way to go. But really, it was a game where they got beaten. I mean, they were just beaten. And it's, you know, it's not a passing grade when you're beaten that way and it disrupts everything you're trying to do offensively.
No, that being said, I also think the fact that, you know, we couldn't get to those backside linebackers, we couldn't cut off that backside. We were getting pushed back. I talked about those change in levels yesterday in that zone blocking scheme and the fact that there was a lack of push. That way, I'm going to go with a D. I think, again, it was just lackluster. And again, you looked at a couple posts on Twitter today about the pressure that Brian Hoyer was getting directly, you know, in his face consistently, made it tough for him. A lot of the reason why he got, you know, the low grade that he did for me.
Yeah, and it did make it tough for him. There were times, though, where he got pressure that you would think that he could have made his reads a little more quickly, recognized the blitzes. And we talked about that play with Travis Benjamin coming off the left side after they get the big play to Andrew Hawkins. Then they have the run where McQuiston gets thrown back into Isaiah Crowell. You lose 4 yards on first down, and then Hoyer gets sacked on the next play off of a double inside linebacker blitz, where if he had just, you know, you come off camera and you say, okay, clearly I'm looking that way. He's not open. You had Crow over there who was just a decoy anyway. You got to come back to the middle. You always throw into the blitz. So where was the empty spot? It was the middle of the field, and he had a guy wide open and didn't get back there. That's one of the reasons that hurt his grade as well. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start with the defensive line. I'm going to give the D-line a C-. I thought that they did have a couple batted balls. That was nice. But really, for the most part, they're the ones who I'm holding mostly responsible for the run game and the penetration and the push there. And again, they got gashed, give up over 180 yards on the ground, 127 to Denard Robinson, a career high. And a team that was the worst rushing team in the NFL looked like a pretty darn good one for the majority of that game. So the D-line, and they got no pressure. None of the sacks were from the D-line. None of the pressures that led to anything were from the D-line. So I'm going to give the front of the defense a C-.
I'm going to go with the D+, because again, for all those same reasons, but the most glaring to me was is not only did they get pushed around and give up 127 yards to Denard Robinson, but it was the size of those gaps, and they almost looked disheveled in there and couldn't figure out what Jacksonville and how they were attacking them. And also, to the fact that they had, you know, 0-0-0 pressure on the quarterback at all. So that means the guys were losing more consistently. They were winning those one-on-one battles in pass rush situations.
Right. Right, and that's what you need to win against an offensive line that had given up the most sacks in the NFL, an offensive line that had multiple rookies in there, and it was a line that the Browns thought they could get the best of. Now, they did have some injuries on the D-line. Jacoby McDaniel made his NFL debut. By the way, the Browns released Jacoby McDaniel today and re-signed tight end Jarrell Robinson, who was with the team, to the active roster. So that was a transaction that was made today. I thought he played okay. I don't think it had anything to do with that game. I think it had more to do with how they were configuring the roster, and probably means they think Ataba Rubin will be back for this team. Yep. They don't need that defensive line spot. Let's go now to the linebackers, and I'm going to give the linebackers in this one an A-. I thought for the most part they were very good. Carlos Dansby, again, another sack. He's got 3 on the year. Chris Kirksey gets another sack. He's got 2, was the team's leading tackler. It was Jabal Sheard's hit on Blake Bortles that led to the first interception by Tashawn Gibson. So I thought overall the linebackers did good. Could they have done more in setting the edge? Yes, that's why I'm going with the A-. They could have done more there. I still want to see more from Barkevius Mingo. Paul Kruger's getting back to being 100%, not quite there yet, but I thought overall the linebacking was good, especially in the inside with Kirksey and Dansby, and even Craig Robinson had a couple of nice plays as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a B+. Very, very close to going that A-. I would just like to see some more production. You talked about Kirksey's production. You talked about Dansby's production. Sheard with the big tip, but again, production out of Kruger, production out of Mingo. So the fact that there really wasn't a lot of production or a play in my mind that, you know, forced me to say, hey, he played a good game. That way, I'm just gonna drop him down a tad. B+.
All right, let's go now to the defensive backfield, and I think this was the group that played the best day out there by far. 3 interceptions amongst them. You got Buster Skrien with an interception, 2 for Tashawn Gibson, giving him 4 on the season. Whitner was solid. Joe Hayden played well, and Justin Gilbert played his best game. I'm going to give them an A. Now, it was the defensive backfield that got a little bit sloppy at the end of that first half, you know, missed tackle, I think, by Buster. And I thought Dante should have come over and cleaned that play up. Once Robinson got away, he did not. But other than take that one drive away, they were great.
They were. I'm going to go with an A as well. And like you said, I think that it's encouraging the fact that Justin Gilbert has righted his ship. He was challenged by young wide receivers, and he stepped up.
Yes.
I think the fact that we didn't call Joe Hayden's name a lot is he's going back to his old ways and producing the way Joe Hayden can. And I think that there's playmakers in our defensive backfield. You know, Tashawn Gibson, I think, is the best ball hawk right now in the National Football League, leading tied for the lead in the NFL with 4 interceptions. And Buster Skrien screen is continuing to improve. If they can't attack Hayden, they're going to try to attack screen, but screen is stepping up consistently.
He has been. He has been playing very, very well, and it was good to see Hayden handle Cecil Shorts, who had given him a problem last year, and like you said, Gilbert was absolutely at his best since joining this team, which was good to see. Special teams, again, we'll just do it as a whole, as a unit. I thought Marlon Moore played very well on special teams. I thought Cundiff kicked it well. I thought Lanning actually punted very well in this game, hit some real nice punts. But again, you have a massive special teams gaffe, and to me, that turned the game. That gave up that short field touchdown that made it a two-possession game late. To me, until special teams I look at as just a pass or a fail. They either special teams was good, and maybe there's a pass plus if they make a game-changing type of a play like the Tank Carter block punt, and then sure, that's a great day. But for the most part, you want them to be a non-factor, and if they're a factor, it's a good one. When they're not, it's bad. Again, I think special teams, you got to give it an F here, and it's probably multiple times we've done that this season because you just can't have plays like that in the National Football League if you expect to win games that you should.
You're right, and that being said, without even giving it a letter, I'll just give it a fail. So if it's a pass fail, they failed, because as I've said week in, week out, even talking about them not making a play, it was they did their job. We didn't have to talk about them both overly positive or identify a problem and talk about negatively about them. Therefore, they would pass. This week they fail because we're talking about a negative play that directly impacted the football
game. And
we're
searching for answers still. We're trying to figure out who should be the punt returner.
We spent
of this
a
team.
Segment and a half on a punt returner.
Right.
You know? So, yes, fail.
Fail. All right, those are our grades for the Jacksonville game. But the good news is that's all behind us. The Browns, all you can do is lose that game once, which they did. Can't lose it again. So they will be able to move on to the Oakland Raiders this Sunday, and that's what we're going to do as well. Final time of looking back, where we play a little after further review right after this.